We're staying in Newcastle to speak to Dr. Vivek Nityananda on the topic of stereopsis. Dr. Nityananda is a behavioral ecologist in the Institute of Neuroscience. He's currently investigating the mechanisms underlying stereo vision in the praying mantis. It's part of a project called Man, Mantis and Machine, the computation of 3D vision. Praying mantises are the only invertebrates known to have stereo vision, and this research aims to understand the mechanisms behind it. This may have implications for our understanding of human stereo vision.
Vivek, thank you for speaking to us today. Can you begin by explaining what the objectives of the mantis machine are?
The project started by the observation that praying mantises were the only insects that had stereo vision, and they were also really different evolutionarily from humans. And so the objectives of the project were to actually discover the mechanisms of stereo vision in the praying mantis and seeing if we could compare that with what we know from humans to find out whether there were new mechanisms we could discover in the praying mantis, and then eventually to model those mechanisms and try and apply them to some kind of technological use.
And how are you doing this?
We're running this project by focusing on the mantis in two different ways. The main bulk of my contribution to the project is looking at it behaviorally, so looking at the behavior of the mantis to try and figure out how the stereo vision works. But another postdoc on the project called Ronnie Rosner is working on the neurophysiology of stereo vision and is actually recording from neurons that respond to 3D targets and 3D stimuli. And the way we're going about both of these is making use of color filters, or anaglyph filters as they're called. And we're using these to show different stimuli to each eye and then manipulating the geometry of the stimuli to actually produce these 3D illusions to the mantis in a special 3D insect cinema. And how this helps us is that this gives us the flexibility now to actually show really complex stimuli that have been used to investigate human vision. Now we can show them to insects for the very first time. And by manipulating what stimuli we show them, we can actually start asking questions, and we have been asking questions, about what the actual mechanisms underlying insect stereo vision are.
Why did he choose an insect and not just a small mammal?
Well, the thrust of the project came from the finding that it was an insect that had stereo vision, and insects are really evolutionarily distinct from humans. And so you can think of the fact that since they have evolved vision independently from humans, they might have actually evolved a new way of doing stereo vision as well. The other big idea behind using insects was the fact that insects have much smaller brains compared to humans, and therefore to implement stereo vision, they might have had to find a simpler, more efficient solution for the same problem. And that's what we set out to discover, to see whether they actually had a different way of doing 3D that was simpler compared to ours.
How do you know that praying mantis have 3D vision?
The studies that have shown that praying mantis have 3D vision were done some time back. The most definitive one was done by Samuel Russell in the 80s, and he did this by placing prisms in front of the praying mantis's eyes, and he manipulated the strengths of the prisms. And by manipulating the strengths of the prisms, he was able to show that they actually triangulate the distance to a target between the two eyes, indicating that they started making errors based on the 3D cues that they were getting and not just the distance cues. And so this was what actually first clearly demonstrated that praying mantises did have 3D vision.
You've recently published your latest findings. Can you tell us about them?
The latest findings which we've got are starting to show us that mantises actually have a completely different way of doing stereo vision compared to humans. The biggest difference is the fact that they don't correlate static luminance patterns across both eyes at all. They appear not to do this, or at least there's no evidence that they're correlating static luminance patterns. What's really interesting is that if you show them a stimulus where there's a completely different dot pattern in each eye, a completely different view of the world in each eye, this doesn't faze them at all. They still are able to detect 3D depth in these images, in these stimuli. Whereas when we ran the same experiments with human participants could not make an accurate estimate of whether something was nearer or further away, depending on how we showed them. So that's because human stereo vision really relies on correlating the luminance patterns across both eyes, but it looked like mantises completely don't rely on that. What they seem to be doing instead was to be correlating change in the stimuli, which often in our stimuli was related to movement as well. So they were matching movement across both eyes. But as we found out in the final stimulus that we used, final experiment that we conducted, they didn't actually need a coherent first order movement at all. They just needed simultaneous change in both eyes at very specific positions, which conveyed the geometry of the 3D stimulus. So this is a completely different way of doing 3D from what we know of in any other animal.
So what will be the possible implications and applications of this research?
So one of the big things which we're excited about is that we can then try and model this new way of doing 3D. And it is actually a much simpler way of doing 3D as we might expect from an insect. And if we could model it, then we could try and implement this into computer vision using a simpler algorithm or potentially into some kind of robotics where you might not want a large amount of computational power, but you might still want to detect the distance or depth to an object. And we're hoping that we can then use the Mantis 3D algorithm into such applications, and then we'll be able to develop these kinds of robots or computer vision applications.
What are the next steps for your research?
So there are a bunch of directions in which we are taking this forward. So the big thing, as I said, was to try and find the application and the modeling of this new way of doing 3D. And the lead on that is going to be, of course, the PI on the project, Professor Jenny Reed, who's a computational neuroscientist. So she's going to be looking at how we model this, of course, in collaboration with any potential other people who are interested in developing robotics. But in addition, ongoing work, which still hasn't been published, is, as I said, looking into the neurophysiology of this. And we're actually going to try and figure out what the circuitry behind stereo vision in the praying mantis is.
Thank you, Vivek.